2 Timothy chapter number 2, and we'll bring a message from that particular chapter. 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and we'll have a song right quick here.
Gonna sound so loud one day, it'll wake the dead. In the twinkling of an eye, he'll split that eastern sky, and I believe he's coming back like he said. Like he said, I believe that a trumpet's gonna sound so loud one day, it'll wake the dead. In the twinkling of an eye, he'll spit that eastern sky, and I believe he's coming back like he said. Believe he's coming back like he said. I believe that a trumpet's gonna sound so loud one day, it'll wake the dead. In the twinkling of an eye, he'll split that eastern sky, and I believe he's coming back like he said.
All right, 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. And the thought I want to preach on tonight is this: what does God want you to be? What does God want you to be? And it's about four thoughts in chapter 2 about what we ought to be as the Lord's people. And even though Paul was writing to Timothy, a young preacher, and it was an encouragement to him, we can apply the same things to ourselves. Verse 1 and 2 says this: Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for the reading of your word. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. And Father, that we would be exactly what you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now in verse number 1 and verse number 2, you understand that God wants us to be a good son. In verses 3 to verse number 6, he wants us to be a good soldier. And verses number 15, he wants you to be a good student. And finally, in verses 24 down to verse 26, he wants you to be a good servant. Now you understand this, that all mothers and fathers like their sons to be good. Amen? And you understand this, our Heavenly Father wants us to be good. Now, how can we be a good son? Well, the Bible says this: Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, when you read chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, you understand now that he's just told Timothy, don't be ashamed of Christ or him, a prisoner of the Lord. And he didn't have to fear. Well, you understand that fear and shame kind of go together. If you fear something, then it'll cause you to be ashamed. And Paul wasn't implying that Timothy was ashamed, but he said there's a possibility it could happen because you understand there's a lot of things going on in that day that Timothy lived in. You understand Paul now, this particular letter was to Timothy as a letter of encouragement because he knew that soon he was going to be leaving out of here. So actually it becomes a letter of instruction and encouragement to Timothy to prepare him for the ministry as he continues on when Paul is off the scene. You see, in that time period, they claimed that, or the Romans had claimed that the Christians were responsible for the burnings of Rome. So a lot of Christian folks were going to jail, going to prison, some being put to death. So you understand they were living in difficult circumstances, difficult times. And so when you come to chapter number 2, here are some instructions that Paul gives to Timothy. He says, thou therefore, my son. Now you understand that Timothy was not Paul's son in the flesh. He was his spiritual son. The Lord had raised up Timothy under his ministry. Paul had trained him and helped him down through the years. And now he's entrusting Timothy with the gospel to continue on. He says this, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, if you look over there at chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians, and look at verse number 16, the Bible says this, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The kind of strength that Paul was encouraging Timothy to have was to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We're talking about an inner strength. We're not talking about physical, but that strength that only God can give on the inside. And I believe the Apostle Paul probably knew something about that because he knew he's fixing to die. He also says in the previous chapter that there had been some in Asia who had actually forsaken him. And be assured that in this Christian walk, there will be those who will forsake us. When difficult times come in your direction, you'll find out real quick as to what you're made of. But you see, if you're saved by the grace of God, we can draw upon that inner strength that comes from the Lord. And most of us have seen down through the years individuals who have served God, lived for the Lord, and may go through difficult times and you wonder, how is it that they can just keep on going? Why they don't quit? Why they don't give up? Well, the reason why is God has given them that inner strength. And you understand that, brother, that's a gift of the grace of God. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, the source of this particular strength is grace that's in Christ Jesus or that's embodied in Christ. Look if you would there at 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Our life is in Christ Jesus. Look there at 2 Timothy chapter number 2, or 6 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 13. He says, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Life, faith, love, strength, all these graces are embodied in Christ Jesus. That's the source. And you and I who are saved by the grace of God can rely upon these things because, my friend, it comes from Him. Paul knew that Timothy was going to be preaching in difficult times. When you read chapter number 3 of 2 Timothy, he says in verse number 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." That word perilous carries the idea of dangerous times. Will you understand this, that we're living in perilous times? Dangerous times. And I really believe it's probably we'll see a lot more before the Lord returns. Now, I don't believe that the Lord's church and His people will go through what they call the Great Tribulation. I believe the Lord will rapture us out of here, but that does not mean we're not going to see something. So do you understand then, perilous times talks about dangerous times, so then you understand you better have something inside of you that'll help you get through all this. And we're talking about inner strength that comes from God. Then he says in verse number 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Timothy, he says now, you need to hear and remember those things that you've been taught. Paul was his teacher. And you understand this, that we better rely upon the teachings of this book. Not only do we need inner strength, but we need some guidance and some help. And brother, the only place you're going to find it is here in the Word of God. The reason why the liberal crowd, the modernistic crowd of our day is trying to undermine the Scriptures and come up with all kinds of different versions of the Bible and trying to pass them off as being the Word of God. As you understand this, my friend, they really don't care about you. They care about making money, because that's what they're doing. This book that we have in our hand is a supernatural book. In it, it does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. In this book, then you're going to find the doctrines, the teachings that we need to hear, that when the time comes that we need that inner strength and we need that guidance, brother, you can look to the Word of God. It's going to be there. Timothy was to remember all that he was taught. And not only that, but he was to pass it on to faithful men. Which means our responsibility is to teach others this book. Now, he refers to him as his son. So, Timothy, if he's going to be a good son, then rely upon the strength of the Lord. Isn't that what every Christian parent wants? I mean, that's what I want for my children. I mean, I want them to be able to make a living, sure, to survive down here while they're here. But it pleases me more to know if they're serving the Lord and relying upon Him rather than the flesh or this world, you see. It'll please me more to know that They're going to rely upon what thus saith the Word of God. You see. Children, if you want to make your parents happy, then you find your strength in the Lord.
Amen.
And you depend upon the guidance of His Word. And to me, that's being a good son, a good daughter. Not only are we then to be strong and commit these truths, these doctrines to faithful people, faithful men. But notice now in verse number 3, he says this, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits." Now, in verses 3 to verse number 6, we're instructed here about being a good soldier. Now, you understand this, that we are in a spiritual battle. And we're to put on the whole armor of God, according to Ephesians chapter number 6. In this, Paul says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier." Timothy's duty as a soldier, and such is our duty as well, is to learn to endure hardness. Because of the sufferings and afflictions and difficulties that Timothy is going to face in the ministry as a Christian, as a man who's going to try to live for God, then my friend, he's going to have to endure hardness. And you understand this, that what Paul is doing now, he's saying, "Now, son, I'm trying to prepare you for some things." Amen?
Amen.
Now, I haven't been in the military, but I know there's probably some here who have. And I'm sure that they can tell you that it's not a very easy thing to be put in shape, to be put in a place of submission and to respect authority. And to continue being in shape and learning loyalty, respect, and honor. But you understand this, as the Lord's soldiers, brother, we better do what's necessary to prepare ourselves so that we can endure hardness. There are some spiritual exercises, brother, we ought to be taking. Brother, we ought to be reading this book. We ought to be praying and talking to God. We ought to be faithful to the house of God. We ought to get all the preaching, all the teaching, everything we can get. Amen. And learn all we can learn. Why? Because in days to come, it's going to come in handy. Why? It's going to prepare you that you might endure hardness. This religious world would like to confuse and undermine and destroy true Christianity.
Amen.
Your only defense is knowing the book.
Amen.
There are those who claim to be spiritual who know nothing about spirituality. Their idea of being spiritual is who can jump the highest, shout the loudest. So you can feel something. But spirituality is not necessarily an emotion. Spirituality, my friend, is when you know what this book says and put it into practice, my friend. That's spirituality. It also gives you discernment. In this day and time, we need that, amen?
Amen?
To be able to distinguish what's true and what's false. Well, you understand then, Paul says, endured the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, he says, no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. Not only are we to endure hardness and be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, but also we don't need our allegiance to be divided. You understand this, that if you began to try to divide your allegiance, trying to be true to Christ and His church, and straddle the fence and trying to be true and loyal to something else out yonder, you're going to find yourself in trouble. You can't do that. There are those today who are pursuing things in this world, and their church membership and their relationship with the Lord has become secondary. If it's convenient, then I'll go to church. If it's convenient, I'll do what's right. But right now, I've got my life to live, money to make, a family to support, and I've got to do this, and this is most important in my life. Well, you understand this, that God will never bless you if your allegiance is not to Him and to what He cares about, and that's His church. As a young man, the Lord called me to preach. Deborah and I were married, and so I had to go to work. Well, I got caught up in working for the tribe and for Indian programs and so forth and so on. And back then, we didn't have a lot of Indian people with a lot of education. So, you know, I got a pretty good job. And they waived some degrees so I could have the job. And I learned to do the job working for them. Well, after a while, what began to happen was when my job said, Mr. Johnson, we want to transfer you over here, or you to go over there. I loaded up my family, we packed and we went. I'd resign the church I was pastoring and go. Now, what's wrong with that? Plenty in it. You see, my job and my employer was determining where I should go, where I should live, as opposed to the Lord being first place. You understand this? It's not hard to get turned around if you're not careful. When God got my attention, and I realized that He wasn't really first place in my life, it was then when God began to use me and open doors for us and bless us. You see, if you put the Lord first, He'll look after you and He'll bless you. Now, you understand this, not only do you not have time to entangle yourself with the affairs of this life, because if a soldier does that, he's not fit for service, he's not fit for battle, because he's preoccupied with something else. And my friend, a soldier is liable to get hurt or liable to get shot if he's not careful, you see. But also, a soldier needs to be disciplined. Verse 5 says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully? You've got to have the discipline of an athlete to be a good soldier. Brother, you better stay in training, keep in shape. And you understand this business of self-discipline is not an easy thing, is it? Those of us, when we're young adults, and those of you who are young adults, remember, and you know that getting married and having a family, that's not an easy thing. When you're a kid, it kind of looks easy, but it's not. You have to discipline yourself in saying, I'm going to go to work every morning. I'm going to pay my bills. I'm going to take care of my family. I'll go to work whether I'm sick or whether I'm not. I've got to do this. Why? Because my family's got to eat. You learn real quick that you've got to learn self-discipline. Deny yourself of some things that you would like to do and want to do because there's some things that are more important than that. When we're talking about the Lord's service, brother, we need to be disciplined. There are a lot of things that can become excuses not to come to the house of God or to serve the Lord. And some would appear to be justifiable. We had a lady in Mississippi, and some of you, I think, got to meet her, Miss Anderson. And all the years that she was in church, she was in a wheelchair. A very sickly woman. But you know, she always came to church whether she was sick or not. And she told Brother Reza, I could be just as sick and feel bad at home as I can at the church, and I'd just rather be at church. And she'd come. Then we'd have some of them young women, or young men in the church, when they got a cold, my friend, they'd stay home. It's kind of like almost looking for excuses to stay home, you see. Well, you understand this. She was disciplined in the fact that she belonged at the house of God. If she could get there, she was going to be there. Don't look for excuses to stay home, because you'll find them. Discipline yourself. I'm going to be here no matter what happens. I'm going to be here. Then, in verse number 6, it talks about the husband that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. You understand this, that no farmer is going to have anything to eat if he's not willing to work and labor. And I know that some of you know something about farming. And you also know it's not an easy job. It requires time, work, sweat. Well, you understand this, that to be a good soldier, brother, you ought to be willing to work. You realize that the Lord has gifted His church. All of us who make up the body of Christ in one local assembly, God has placed you here for a reason, and that you have a gift that you can offer to this assembly that will help this church grow and go for the glory of God. You see, all of God's children are gifted. Amen? Every one of us. And whatever that gift may be, you're to use it and develop it here at the house of God. And if we'll labor together with the gifts and talents that God has given each one of us at the local church, just think what can be accomplished. But in a lot of churches, you have that nucleus, that handful that is there no matter what happens, that'll give financially no matter what happens, they'll sacrifice, they'll be there for every service, every work day, and they'll sacrifice, and my friend, you can always count on them. Then you have that part of the membership that you don't know if they're going to show up or not. Maybe they'll be here, maybe they won't. And it kind of gets to the place when they don't show up, Because they haven't showed up so many different times, you don't really worry because, well, they just laid out tonight. But when you have one of those faithful ones not show up, then there's concern. Why? Because you know they'd be here. If they're not here, that means there's something seriously wrong. Now, you can answer this afternoon what category you fit in. But it shouldn't be that way. Every member of Independence Baptist Church, you're important. You have something to offer. And brother, you ought to be here. Laboring, working at the Lord's church. But not only to be good sons and good soldiers. Look at verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We also ought to be good students. And you understand this when he says now, study to do what? To show thyself approved unto who? Unto God. Question being raised this afternoon, are your study habits from the Word of God meeting God's approval? Now, you understand when we're talking about studying here, we're studying about God. Now, Brother Johnny's sitting back there. Before him and his wife got married, like a lot of other young couples, amen? When they first got interested in each other, I'm sure there was some studying going on. Just like your daddy, amen? Just like your grandpa. Why? Because you want to know everything about the person that you're interested in. As you study them, you want to know what's going to make her happy. Isn't that right, Johnny? Amen. You want to know the things she likes, the things she dislikes. You want to get acquainted with her. You want to study things about her. And ladies, you do the very same thing. Well, when you first get married then, those first 2 or 3 years, my friend, there's a lot of things you thought you knew, but you didn't know. Isn't that right?
Yes.
But you keep on studying. Why? Because you're in love with that person. You're learning all that you can about them. And it finally gets to the point that if Cecil Alls walks in the door and he's had a bad day, he don't have to say nothing. Mary Alls knows all about it. She can tell by his attitude, the sound of his voice, how he's walking. Why? Because she knows the man she's studying. Or vice versa, if Cecil walks in, I don't know if Mary does this or not, but if she's slamming down pots on the stove, something's wrong, amen? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. When you study somebody, you get to know them. We're to study the Word of God. Why? Because if you belong to Him, then that means you should love Him. And you should want to know everything there is to know about Him. And brother, you want to study Him and study Him and study Him. Study the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the brother. The only place you can study is right here in this book. And the more that you study, the more of the approval you're going to get from God.
Amen.
Ladies, don't you like it when your husbands remember your birthdays and your anniversaries? Are special things that happen in your relationship? Doesn't that just Make you feel we're good? And fellas, don't you like it when you do something for them and you get their approval? Well, there's some benefits by getting approval, amen? She's liable to do something a little special for you. A special meal. She might even pull your shoes and socks off and massage your feet, Brother Cecil. That ain't happening, is it? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. God, when we meet His approval, He's going to bless us. You're going to know it. Amen? We ought to know and learn everything we can. The Bible says this, not only study to show thyself approved unto God, but He says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Brother, if you study this book, you don't have to be intimidated by the philosophies, the thinking, and the attitudes of this world, because you know what the Word of God says. You don't have to be ashamed of what thus saith the Lord. Amen. You'll be an able workman. And you can give an answer, an account of yourself from the Word of God to any man. When He talks about rightly dividing the Word of truth, it carries the idea of plowing a straight furrow. I heard a story the other night about some preacher's daughter that had crooked rows. But you understand this, if you learn to plow a straight furrow, that's rightly dividing, you see. Our ladies, as you sow, sowing a straight line. Well, you understand this, brother. This book doesn't contradict itself. Amen. There's no errors in it. Right. It's a commentary on itself. Yeah, that's right. If you'll rightly divide the word of truth, brother, you'll learn something. This is God's Word. Not only be a good student, but learn to be a good servant. Look at verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now he's talking there about being a good servant. He uses that word strive. And that word strive means to not be quarrelsome or to fight or to make war. Carries the idea of someone who's always got a chip on his shoulder, a poor attitude, you see. So he says now, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. God did not raise us up to be a bunch of troublemakers. Or have a bitter spirit or bad attitude. You see, we're servants. The spirit of servitude is wanting to serve. And the reason why you and I ought to want to serve is because Christ Jesus, He also became a servant. Humbled Himself. And died on the cross of Calvary. Was sacrificed, was buried, rose on the third day, coming back again. He's our example. If He can be a servant, so can we. His servitude was motivated because of his love for a people he was going to die for. You understand this, if you love the Lord, you want to be a servant. And you serve Him because you love Him. On occasion, I'll have someone come to me and they'll say, "Brother Raymond, so-and-so, they didn't show up to clean the church. Or they didn't show up to take their turn cutting the grass. And when that happens, I've got to cut the grass or I've got to clean the church or whatever's got to be done, we've got to do it." And it's kind of like, I'm tired. But you understand this, that whether one takes the responsibility of cleaning the church or cutting the grass or whatever needs to be done, if you have to take up the slack and do it, you do it because you love Him. That's why you do it. If I had to depend upon people to get the work done, a lot of it wouldn't get done. You understand this, what motivates you is love. It's not whether they do their job or not, is the point. Are you doing your job? Are you willing to do it? Your pastor, myself, and others, all of us had to cut the grass, clean the toilets, work on the building. Amen? Why? Because it's a position of servitude God wants out of us. You ought to be willing to serve. Then you understand not only not to have a spirit that will strive, but also is it be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient. Being gentle to all men. There again, talking about attitude. Not complaining, not comparing, just simply be a servant. Amen? He says, apt to teach. Well, I understand now he's talking to a young preacher here, but everybody has the capability to do some teaching. If you know this book, you can teach this book. And I understand there are some guidelines in public worship as to where you can teach. But young ladies, you can teach other young ladies. Part of the commission is to do what? Is to teach the gospel, isn't it? Telling them about the Savior who died for sinners. The point is, know the book. A good servant will know that. Then he says this, patience. That word patience carries the idea of being cool under fire. And I guarantee you, as the Lord's people, we're always going to come under fire. It comes with the territory. The Lord's people have always been attacked in some fashion or form. In this country, the Lord has greatly blessed us. We haven't maybe suffered the physical abuse of a persecution that some of the saints suffered in New Testament times or that some of the saints suffer in other countries. But one thing for sure we can say we've suffered. We have suffered some verbal abuse. Amen. Well, when we come under fire, simply be patient and wait on the Lord. Be a good servant. He goes on to say this, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Those who are going against truth, exercise meekness. We talked about that being strength under control, you see. If God preadventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, God can use your servitude to help somebody, even to the point He might use it as a tool to grant repentance to someone who is caught up in false teaching, false doctrine. He goes and say this, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Those who are caught up in a life of sin or religion or whatever it may be, being a good servant and a good example, God can use that to win and reach others. It ought to be your desire tonight to be used of the Lord. God, use me as one of your vessels, one of your tools to reach a lost and dying world. That ought to be our desire tonight. But you understand this, before you can ever be used, you need to be a good son, a good soldier, a good student, and a good servant tonight. Question being raised, are you doing what God has raised you up to do? We are living in dangerous or perilous times. But also, it's very exciting times. Amen? Just think what God can do with our lives if we'll get to the place where we're usable. Now, you understand God's going to do what He's going to do anyhow. Amen? But He has given you opportunity also to exercise your responsibility as a believer, but an opportunity to get on some blessings that you could have if you'll just do what the Word of God says to do. As we all stand this evening, bow our heads and close our eyes. What does God want you to be? Well, He wants you to be all these things tonight. Are you willing? As the pianist and the song leader come, you're prepared to sing. If the Lord has dealt with your heart, I want to encourage you tonight to get it taken care of. And if there's a need to make acknowledgments tonight, then let it be known what God's done for you in your heart. Tonight, if you're lost without Christ, I want to encourage you to come. Ask the Lord to show you mercy. Let's pray. Father, we thank You now for the Word of God You've given to us. And Lord, I pray that You would deal with our hearts this evening. And Father, that we might be all the things You'd have us to be. And Lord, for those who are not there yet, Father, I pray that You'd grant repentance. Open up hearts and eyes, Lord, that they might see. And Father, that real revival might come in their life. And Father, they make those things right and begin to live a life that will please You. We ask, Lord, that You touch the heart of those who are lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor.